Okay? Hebrews chapter 12 comes right after Hebrews chapter 11. Is that? Pow! Pew! Mind blown, baby. Chew on that all day, right? The reason I say that, though, is referencing Hebrews chapter 11, which we talk about as being the chapter of all those who walked with faith in their walk or their race with the Lord, you know, in the race. I believe you can count, take and see if I'm right. I think there's like actually 18 actually mentioned there by name or whatever, but it talks about others. Others not mentioned in that chapter, or even others up until the point when the writer here was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about these other ones. And King James says, wherefore. New King James says, therefore. Therefore, because of those that ran before us, because of those who are an example to us, because of those that we just read about in that previous chapter of all those who had these lives of faith, because of that, he's now writing to those who are of the church age, which is then wrote a couple thousand years ago, but it's still us today. So if you would just bear with me for a moment, and I would like you just to be active and interactive right now. I would like you to say, therefore, and I'd like you to say this part, we also, say it one more time, we also, because I want to make sure that we understand this is for us. We have a tendency sometimes in Scripture to think, oh yeah, he's writing to them. Well, he is, but it's to us. Scripture is for us, and we're part of the church. So because of those that ran their race, their faith race, because of them, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what's your visual image right there right now? I know it. You got a visual image that you are in a race in a stadium. And you got all these old people from that chapter and all these old people that were in the race were going, come on, you can do it. Come on, I'm watching you. Come on, Charlie, don't quit now. Keep on going. Maria, come on, catch up. You're right behind Charlie. Come on. Donna, come on. Don't lag behind. Hurry up. Right? No, I don't get that. I don't get that they're up there and we're in the they're at the vantage point from heaven looking down at us in this light going, yeah, I got my money on this. No. No, I don't see that. I look at Scripture as it's saying this. That cloud of witnesses are those who have gone before us that witness to us of their life of running the race in faith. And they speak to us as we are now in the process of running the race that is set before us. And that's important. It's a distinction. And is that to say that there is nothing that they can view that? I don't get from Scripture that they're looking down on us. I don't really see that. I know some people use this in some other obscure Scriptures to say, yeah, people from heaven can see. I don't necessarily see that in Scripture. Is it possible? Of course. But I don't say it. But I do realize that these witnesses that witness to us of their faith, of their race that they ran, speak to us today in the race that we are currently running. And we need to realize that as they did, so do we have to lay aside every weight and the sin. It's interesting. Every weight and the sin. I believe the sin encompasses all those weights, and the sin that is involved with all those weights always come back to a life that in those areas we're not walking by faith. Okay? All those weights, which are sins themselves many times, there are all those things that are, and he says it's holding you back, man. You got to lay them aside. They get heavy. So since we're surrounded by these great clouds of witnesses that went before us, let us now lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance or patience, King James says, the race that is set before us. Now, I remember sometimes, as I told you, I was never a runner for just exercise or just pleasure, as some people do. But, of course, I run and I was on my bike or doing other things. And that are, sometimes your T-shirt's heavy. Do you understand it? People who are, sometimes your shoes just feel heavy. I would kick these things off, man. Sometimes just something's irritating you as you're running or exercising. You're like, I can't do this anymore. I just got to stop. That doesn't happen in you guys sometimes? No, everything's perfect all the time when you do so. He says, lay aside those things, whatever they might be, that are weighing you down, that are tripping you up, that are causing this race to be much harder than it needs to be. Lay them aside. It's interesting, this word. And I love the King James, it's beset. These things that ensnare us, it's beset us. I like that word, besetting, these besetting sins. That word ensnares or beset, it's very interesting in the original Greek language. It can actually be translated four ways, that word. It's really interesting. One way it could be translated as easily avoided. Another way could be admired. Another way could be ensnaring, or another way can be dangerous. These besetting, ensnaring sins. See, some sins are easily avoided in our life, but we don't. There are some easily avoided, but we don't, if we're being honest. There's actually some sins, though we know we don't really like them, but we sometimes admire them. If we're being honest, sometimes we admire them in other people. Oh, I love how they stand up for themselves. But in their life, they're saying, I'm tired of this stinking pride that's in me that makes me do that way. Oh, I love how they're very open, and the other person's saying, I've got to shut my mouth. I'm a gossip. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, look, they're very transparent. No, they're just gossiping about stuff. I mean, sometimes we admire things in other people, but it's still sin. It's not to be admired. Sometimes these sins are just sins that just ensnare us. They're just like trippy weeds, man, and trippy things. They just get on and they just get us. They grab a hold of us. And sometimes, in fact, all the time, God bless you, Bob, it's about five times. And sometimes, in fact, I'll say all the times, these sins are dangerous. They're dangerous. Some, we could be honest, are a little more dangerous than others, but they're all dangerous. Now, the Bible, when it speaks about these besetting sins or these sins that ensnare us or trip us up through that we should avoid them, we don't. When it speaks about those in different places throughout the Scripture, it talks about it not just here, but it talks about it sometimes in detail. It really never says to us, that sin, the devil made you do it. I know that's an old phrase from the 60s that some of you older heads will remember. You heard it. Used to be a comedian, Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. He said that was his whole shtick. But the devil can't make us do it. Cannot. He can tempt. He can do other things. But he can never make us do it. And nowhere in the Scripture does it tell us, you got to wrestle with the devil who's making you do that sin. No, it tells us to lay them aside. It tells us to lay them down. He says, you got to deal with this stuff, church. Just like the ones before us had to deal with their stuff. You got to deal with stuff too, and you need to lay it aside. The onus is on us. It tells us, laying aside. Let us lay aside every weight in the sin which so easily besets us or snares us or trips us up, whatever it happens to be. Wow. See, you and I have to recognize that the onus is on us to do this, but we realize that the reason we are struggling with them is because many times we try to do it in our own strength and power. When we fail, we need to, though, make the decision. We want these weights and sins out of our lives. We want them out. We have to say that because sometimes we do. We admire them, some of them. We hold on to them. But we got to say, no, I want them out. And that God has given me the strength by his Holy Spirit to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares me or besets me. So that I can run this race with endurance and patience. You know, that word endurance or patience, it's an interesting word again in the original language. It's a word that means it's a determination. We run with a determination. Unhurryingly, but yet without delay. Like, we're not running helter-skelter crazy, like, you know, hair on fire. Ah! No, we're running, and we're running. Sometimes we run a little slower. Sometimes you run a little faster. But we're running, but we're not in a crazy hurry, but we're not stopping either. That's the endurance and the patience that I want to continue to run this race. I don't want to stop. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to quit. I need to run it. I want to steadily go on, and I won't be set aside. It's interesting also, I know I'm giving a lot of some, Greek's a really interesting language. I don't really know it that well. I just know what I learned a little teeny, teeny bit about it. But this word for race is the word we get agony from. It could be hard. It can be hard. It can be tough. In fact, the Christian life in this world is tough. But it's the race that is set before you and is set before me. So what are these besetting sins, these ensnaring sins? There's so many of them, and they're different in all of our lives. Yeah, we all deal with sin in general. But you know yourself, there are certain ones that you deal with maybe more than somebody else does. It doesn't mean that they don't ever deal with it or that somebody else isn't dealing with it, but you know, in your life, in your race, there are certain things that continue to come up in your life that continue to weigh you down or trip you up. I'm not here to point them out to you. I know mine. In fact, I asked the Lord, and I asked him last night and this morning, and I asked him as I was driving this morning, you know, over to Jersey and then driving on the way back, Lord, just continue to reveal to me the ensnaring, besetting sins that I might not even be aware of. But I want to know them because I want to get them off. I want to lay them aside. But many of you know those areas or know some of those areas, and you know them. And some of us would recognize that they continue to come up. And they continue to trip us up. And whether yours is lying and gossiping or having an issue with a temper problem or lusts, you know what those things are. We recognize that we have to first understand something. That if you are a child of God and been born again, those sins will never be fully dealt with here in this world, but you can have victory over them. And you are not powerless to deal with them. 2 Corinthians 5:17, which you know very well, it talks about that if anyone is in Christ, they are what? A new what? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? Wow, we have an ability. See, in our spiritual, I mean, before our new life in Christ, when we're born again, in our old self, the old flesh, before transformation, before we were redeemed, we were powerless. We were still the old man in the old flesh, and we had no power over these things, none whatsoever. Yeah, you might have times of victory here and there, occasionally, whatever, but you had no real power over these things. But when you're in Christ, when you've become this new creation, those former things have passed away. You're a new creation in Christ. And he's given you the Holy Spirit who's living within us, which is God himself, who gives us the power. He's given us everything we need, the Bible says, for life and godliness. And even to say this even more, to demonstrate this even more, you know, the Bible even talks about the fact that when we were in our sins and trespasses before we were redeemed or saved, when we were like that, we thought all these other things were foolishness. So yeah, it may certain areas that we call sin today, because we know it's an offense against God because of his word, we were dealing with them back then, and they bothered us, but they bothered us in a different sense. They bothered you before because they were causing you a problem in your life. Oh, I did this and I got in trouble because of this, or I had to pay a fine because of my stupidity, or I had to get married because I did this, or I had to do this because of that. But now when you do it, you say, whoa, no, I've sinned against God. And I'm sinning against God, and it's affecting my ability to represent him here. You didn't think that way before you were saved. So now you might still think, oh, shoot, I did this and it caused me this issue in my life. But no, more than that, it's caused me to sully the name of Christ. It's caused my testimony to be weak, and I don't want that, right? It's a different way of thinking because you're a new creation. So when this transformation takes place, when we put our faith in Christ, we're in this process now of learning how to deal with these sins from a different perspective. And that different perspective says within us that I know that I have a battle going on in my life, but I know that I am not and do not need to be defeated or walk in defeat. God has given me everything I need to be victorious. But I'm also in good company. Because those ones that went before me dealt with the same issues I'm dealing with. Yeah, like the father of faith, Abraham, he had his issues. He had his weights and sin. Moses had his. Oh boy, don't get me started on David. He had his, man. Right? They had them. Sarah's mentioned in there. She had them. Right? They had them. Let's go to the New Testament. Peter had this issue about worrying about what people thought about him because he would like, no, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. And then you say, well, that's before he was converted. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, how about afterwards when he was with the Christians and with the brothers and he was, you know, being with everybody, kind of fellowship with everybody, and then these Judaizers, these Jewish ones came in, and he separated himself from the Gentiles. Oh, I got to think about my reputation. I'm a Jew. I can't be seen with the Gentile people anymore. Oh, and Paul had to call him out. Dude, what do you worry about they think of you? You know who you are in Christ. We're past all that stuff, right? He had to deal with it. Peter had issues. Paul's open about it. He says, man, I never get it right. He said, every time I want to do the right thing, I'm doing the wrong thing. When I don't want to do the wrong thing, I mess it up even more. I'm a mess. Even when I try to get it right, I get it wrong. Help me, he cries out. Who can save me from this body of death? So we deal with these things. And I know sometimes you look around you in church and you say, oh, this one doesn't deal with it, and that one doesn't deal with it. Oh, I listen to this pastor on TV. He doesn't deal with that. Oh, we all deal with it. We got to accept that. And it may not be the same set of besetting sins that I deal with that you deal with, but there's probably some overlap here and there. But we all deal with them. But they do not have to control us. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that what? Lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, Lord, I've been crucified with Christ. The old me is dead. The new one came alive with Jesus, and he's living inside of me and giving me the power to live this life, to lay aside every weight and the besetting sin. And then we should be praying, Lord, give me wisdom. Yes, what are these besetting sins in my life, these weights that are in my life that are weighing me down? And Lord, maybe I need to avoid some certain situations. Maybe I need to deal with this thing and what I look at and then get rid of some apps and put some blockers on my computer. I used to say before, oh, yeah, maybe I should watch the channels we watch. But we don't watch channels anymore. What do we stream? We stream now. I gotta watch my streaming habits because there's certain things that I stream that all of a sudden get this mind going, ah, and these besetting sins start to get, and next thing I know, 2 weeks later, I'm dealing with it again. I thought I dealt with it before, and I gotta stop it. You can. Lord, give me wisdom to avoid these things. You know, it says in Romans 13 to make no provision for the flesh. Because we deal with the flesh, and if you feed it, it's going to grow, and it's going to get nasty. But if you starve it and deny it, it's like, oh, huh, how about that? So, Father, give us wisdom to change some habits, some relationships. At the very least, they should have some boundaries to them. Some maybe have to be set aside for a time. Maybe forever. I don't know. That's between you, the Holy Spirit, and you know. But you know those relationships that cause you to have the issues. And when you're dealing with all of these and saying, Lord, I need the strength, you're still going to find out that it is a daily process which can become weary. So what happens is you have to look at the next verse because it helps us in this, because it says the next verse that the one of the greatest answers, and not the only answer to all this, is looking unto Jesus. When you're looking at all the problems and all the weights and the agony of the race and all this stuff, put your eyes on Jesus. Look at him. Turn your eyes upon him. Because he is the author. He started all that. He came from heaven to earth to die to pay the penalty for our sin, that when you received his finished work on by faith that he died on the cross for you, you were born again. And he started you on this race. He's the author of it. And you know what? He's at the finish line. He's the finish. Come on. But guess what? He's also beside you as you're running. He's in heaven right now making intercession for us. He sent us the Holy Spirit. I'll never leave you, forsake you. I'm going to come to live with inside of you. So you put our eyes, Jesus. I like, again, I know I'm saying a lot of Greek stuff today, not necessary, but looking at the original language, it's a very, the word for you're looking at is much more full than what we can get in English. What it actually means is, it's a gazing upon, a fixing your eyes upon, to the detriment of everything else. Do you ever look at something and stare at it so much that somebody's like next to you going like this and you don't even see them? Because your eyes are fixed. Your gaze is fixed and you can't see anything else. That's how we need to look at Jesus. Looking at him. Keeping our eyes upon him. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who did something, I'm not going to say the exact quote, but something to this effect of, he says, you know, fix your gaze right on Jesus, but not on, he says, don't gaze on the cloud of witnesses. They'll hinder you. They'll take you away. They're an example, but no, they're just, no, to fix your eyes on Jesus. Then he says something like, don't look at your weights and your besetting sin. He says, don't even look at the race course or your competitors, but look to Jesus. And keep your eye on him all through the race. I didn't think of this morning as I was preaching over in New Jersey, but I thought I'd think about it now. When you're running a race, sometimes one of the worst things to do is to kind of look behind you, see who's catching up to you, you know? I've seen racers do that. They look at this, and then whoop, they fall down, or they break, and they get, oh, they try to run harder, and then just run. Run to the finish line. Look, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep running. Don't look all around you. Focus on the goal. Focus on the prize. Focus on the one who's there for you. And if we know this, that if the other ones are not around, they're cheering us, we know Jesus is saying, come on, my child. I'm with you, but keep on running. Come on, throw off that weight. Throw off that weight. Come on. It's getting hard. Come on, get rid of those weights. Get rid of those weights. Get rid of those besetting sins. It'll make your life easier. It'll make the race better. The author and the finisher, the one who began a good work within us, who will complete it. Amen. And it says in that chapter, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He ran a much more grueling race than we will ever run. Now you say, well, he was God. Yeah, you know, we remember that. He was fully God, but he also ran this race here as fully man under the power of the Holy Spirit. And he showed us the way we can be victorious. So he's more than an example to us. He is an example, but he's more to. He's the one who gives us what we need to finish this race strong without all the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. Even to the point of enduring the cross, despising the shame that he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father. You know, shame is a terrible thing. And shame causes us many times to have a lot of besetting sins in our life. You know, shame, I think, is what Peter was dealing with when he denied Jesus. Oh, shame, you know. It caused him to stumble on more than one occasion that we know about. Sometimes we're ashamed of things in our life that we now, it trips us up in our growth as Christians because we're like, I'm a mess. I don't even want to identify as a Christian. And the enemy loves that. He loves for you to be wallowing in your shame of your sin and get you in that corner and beat on you and remind you of it and tell you how much of a dirty, rotten, whatever you are. And you sit there and go, yeah, yeah. And you listen to his lies and you forget the fact that your Jesus is the author of your faith. And he took your sin from you and he forgave you. And if he's forgiven you, who else, including yourself, can condemn you? But we sit in shame and wallow, and that causes us to fall into other sin. Instead of speaking out, Paul said, you think Paul was proud to write in Romans all the things he got wrong? He said, no, I'm going to put it out there because you're struggling with it too. And yes, is it wisdom to tell everybody all your dirty laundry? No, no. But for those that you can trust in Christ, that God has put you in, talk together. Share those weights, those sins, because they're dealing with it too. And pray for one another and help one another. Strengthen one another. Because though we run this race and keep our eyes on Jesus and the prize, we realize that along this race, we don't step on each other, nor do we elbow each other out of the way, but we run together. Oh, so help one another. Don't let shame hold you down. It's a stumbling block to many, many people. I mean, it's amazing how when you're ashamed because of your sin and your shame to identify really publicly for Jesus, then you get caught up with sitting with those that are not and you don't identify as one. And then all of a sudden the conversation leads to things that begin to stir up stuff in your brain that begin to lead you back into those sins again. Instead of saying, no, that's not who I am anymore. I don't do this. I'm a child of God. And you don't care what they say when you say that. Right? No, listen, hey, friends, I love you. I pray for you, but that's not who I am anymore. And if you have to get up and leave and say, I'll pray for you. But you don't just sit there and hide in there and say, yeah, it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And next thing you know, your brain's full of nonsense and you find yourself maybe even acting out. No, I'm a child of God. It's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm not that way anymore. So Romans 6:11, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive unto Jesus, right? We consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive unto Jesus. You don't sit there as a dead bump on the log, not saying anything. You say, no, listen. I'm going to tell you about me and who I am now. And who lives in my life. And who I serve. Because Paul in that sixth chapter also says that sin, before we were Christians, we were slaves to it. We had no, but we're not anymore. See, before when you were dealing with your friends and peer pressure and all that other nonsense and other, and you had no control, but now you do. The power's been broken. So yes, you and I are like Paul when he says in Romans 7, you know, he says, I know nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. But we also know we're also like Paul being born again in chapter 8, where he says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. And you could identify to that. It changes everything. It changes everything. So yes, use wisdom. Have the Holy Spirit identify these besetting sins. Look at it. Sometimes in those areas in our life, we have to be like Joseph, the Old Testament Joseph. And when he was being seduced by Potiphar's wife, he just got out of Dodge, man. He ran and left his clothes behind. You know? I'm gone. If I stay here another minute, I am going to sin. But you know, I'm out of here. Sometimes we got to just deal that way with sins in our lives. I'm not that way anymore. Nah, I'm getting out of here. It's out of my life. So Jesus, as you look upon him, the last couple verses, and then we're going to close this up, he says, for consider him, Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged. So in other words, when we're going through it, and we know that this race is tough, but Jesus has given us the power, but it's still tough, we say, no, I'm going to put my eyes on Jesus, and guess what? He did more and went through more than I ever will. And yet, he did it with victory. And he's given me the ability, because the same spirit that, what's the name, is in me. And I have the victory. I have the victory. And every day you claim that victory. And you walk this new life. Because you and I have not even resisted, like he says here, to bloodshed. We're just dealing with this stuff every day. But you know what? We have the power. So here's what I say. Philippians 4 tells us this, because I think this is one of the secrets of keeping our eyes on Jesus, and one of the secrets, if you will, of having our minds renewed, is he says, finally, Paul says this to the church in Philippi, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. As we know that we have this life to keep our eyes on Jesus, we want to keep ourselves in his word. How can a man keep himself from sinning? The psalm says, what? Keep yourself in the word, right? Jesus said, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. We keep our eyes on Jesus by fully looking in his word, meditating in it day and night, letting the word be a mirror to our souls to show into us all those besetting sins and say, Lord, I'm done with these anymore. I don't want them. Lord, I'm laying them aside, but Lord, I know I'm powerless, so give me the power to be victorious over them today. And then the next day when you wake up, you say, Lord, the same thing. I want to be victorious over them today. And when you are tired of doing it every day, you say, no, I'm not going to be weary. I'm going to look to Jesus, and I'm going to look to him, and I'm not going to grow weary because he has given me the power and the victory. And the prize is heaven. And the goal is to run this race to not only glorify him, but that others may seek him in me and follow me as I'm following him to glory. Church, that's how we run the race. And we can have that victory. So have your minds renewed today through the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Bring every thought into captivity unto Jesus Christ and put your eyes solely upon him. Father, thank you for your word today. Your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word is powerful. Your word gives us everything we need today to live this Christian life. Lord, if we'd only employ the things that you've shown us to employ. So, Father, now bless your word to our hearts. Let it not just be something that was here for a moment and gone, but Father, let us look deeply. I pray your Holy Spirit searches us, our hearts and minds today, as we allow that to take place, to reveal these weights and these ensnaring, besetting sins, and that, Father, we would say we do not want these anymore. Father, in fact, Lord, we're asking, Father, as we're running this race, Lord, would you remove, or would we remove by your power every brick that's in this backpack that's on our backs, brick by brick, let it come off of our lives as we lay them aside. And Father, even when every brick is gone, then Lord, even the backpack itself we want off, because we don't want to have any weight or any distraction or anything that would trip us up or ensnare us or even slow us down as we run this race. And Father, we want to thank you for the daily victory that is in you by the power of your Holy Spirit. So as we look upon your word, renew our minds and let us cast down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of you. And Lord, help us to bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Jesus Christ, as we turn our eyes upon you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together and don't run right out, and pray with one another today and encourage one another. If you want to come up for prayer, we always are here. Invite somebody to church next week. Check on those you haven't seen for a little while. And join us on the midweek Bible studies and services that we have.